First, the Yashkoach to Elliot for putting this all together, all the hard work and organizing. It's very much appreciated. So let's learn a little bit from the B'nai Sashar on Mar Cheshvan. I just bumped into someone before. I met him last night at a chasm, and I bumped into him now, the second time, two nights in a row. And he heard I was giving this shir. He had said he learned the piece of Mar Cheshvan from the B'nai Sashar. And as I mentioned before, this is, I think, the shortest piece. So you open up an Eitz Haschar, you get Elul and Tishrei, it's very, very scary. It's a lot of pages there. So if you don't have the footnotes, so maybe it's not as scary. But still, there are a lot of pages to go through. There are 13 mamarim here, and each mimer has different osiel. So Cheshvan's a good one to start with. It's maybe more Cheshvan's the beginning of the year. Because Tishrei was in a lot of fun of Yantif and Rosh Hashanah, Kippur and Sukkot, and that's all exciting. But now it's time to buckle down. I'm not sure who's working and who's learning, but either way, there are no distractions of Yom Tov. Now is the time to really focus on what this year is going to look like. So I don't know who's familiar with the B'nai Sashar, who's not familiar with the B'nai Sashar. I'm not going to go through biography. I recommend maybe reading the beginning here. It gives a little bit of a background on how he got his name. It's a fascinating Maisa. But what the B'nai Sashar does is he writes on each month, and the month has very cryptic descriptions brought back down by the Sefer Yetzirah. And the Sefer Yetzirah tells you which letter corresponds to which month and which parts of the body, and Psukim. B'nai Sashar writes in one of the plays, I don't remember where, maybe it's in Kislev, no, it's in Tishrei. He talks about how the reason why people don't know how to daven is because they don't know how to do Shemot Hashem. Anyone daven Nusach Svar here? Good, okay. So if you look in the Rosh Chodesh of Musaf, so when it says the bracha of in Musaf, there's a little box in the bottom of the article that tells you what Yukevavke to think of. And that's based on the Sefer Yetzirah tells us the order Yukevavke is Yud and a Hey, and then a Vav and then a Hey. But it could also be scrambled around the different, it could be Hey, Hey, Vav, Yud, Hey, Yud, Vav, Hey. And each month has a different combination of 12 serufim of Yukevavke, and there's a pasuk that corresponds to it. So he starts off each piece and tells you what the pasuk is. So if you look, you don't have whoever wants to look inside. In the Maimar Aleph, I'll read it outside. Tzeruf Hashem HaNichbad, the Shem HaNichbad, the name of Hashem, the Tzeruf, the combination, the permutation, Bezeh HaMeir, Bezeh Chodeshet, lightens up this month. It's Vav Hey Hey Yud. Those are the four letters of Yukev Avke that scrambled in such a way. And which pasuk did they come from? Yotze mipasuk beparshas Kisavo, Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem means the dvash, the honey of this day of Hashem. Because the Rashi Tevos is Vav Hey Hey Yud, of Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. And then he has a lot of fancy gematrias. We're not going to go through them. And he talks about the mazel of a month we're not going to go through. I want to do just the first paragraph of the B'nai Sashar and then the last paragraph of the entire piece on Mar Cheshvan. But before we do the last piece in this shtickel, we have to understand what it means. Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. Now, if I were to choose which month is Dvash, I would have chosen the previous month, Tishrei, which of course is a month where we dip honey. Apple and the honey, and the chal and the honey. And there's a remez that brought down in the Sfarim. We say at the end of one of the days, I think it's Yom Chamishi, we say in the Shir Shayom, we say, Ve'achel me'chel chita, u'mitzur dvash aspiyaka, the chel chita is the fat of the chita, that's the bread, that's dipped in the dvash, that's mentioned in the Pasuk. So there's a remez to such a thing of dipping chal and the honey. And the practice is to do it throughout Sukkot, throughout Shabbos of Tishrei. The Shabbos after Sukkot, Shal Shudis in Eish Kodesh, there was honey there for a weinberger to dip the chal in. So it seems that the entire month, even after Sukkot is over, I didn't ask for a weinberger about it, but there's a practice seemingly the entire month of Tishrei. When I got married, my wife requested that we have honey the entire year. The Shana Rishona, it should be a Shana Masuka for us. At the time, not only was I not familiar with Chassidus, I was very anti Chassidus. I thought it was a made-up minhag, and I said, nope, you only allow three minhag Chassidus, whatever they were, and that was it. And now a lot has changed since then. But she also thought she was marrying an actuary. That's far from the truth. So things change. It's important for you to know. I don't know who's married, who's not married yet, but when you grow together with your wife, and you don't have to be, you shouldn't be the person who you are at 20, 21. You should be a much different person when you're 30. Rabbi Lewis mentioned a great ma'aseh for those who heard the siyum. I may have seen it past 2 months of Shabbos ago, a great story how, I'll let you listen to it online, but talking about how people when they're 45 have the same dreams as when they're 13. That when they're 45, they still want to be like the shortstop for the Yankees. So you'll see when you get married and as you grow, your dreams will be very, very different, which I want to talk about. When you get older, they should get better and bigger and more important as you grow older. So either way, we see that Dvash would seemingly be the month of Tishrei, not the month of Mar Cheshvan. So why is the pasuk here used to describe Mar Cheshvan? Moreover, Mar Cheshvan, what does the word Mar mean? Mar means bitter. It's the complete opposite of what Dvash is. So Mar Cheshvan does not sound anything like what Dvash should be describing. So there's a Rashi in last week's parasha which talks about, Parshas Noach, about the Yonah that went out. And it found the Zayas. We know Zayas, an olive, is something that's mar, something that's bitter. I'm thrown off here by this use of the art scroll, Chumashim. There's a Rashi somewhere here where the Yonah says that I much rather than the Dvash from Adam, I much rather that which is mar, that which is bitter from the Yad of Hashem. That's what he says. I'm going to try to get it quickly. It's somewhere here. You'll find it. So the Yonah says, I much rather the mar from Yad Hashem from the Dvash from Bidei Adam. So you see there's a certain value of that which is bitter over that which is sweet. So it's a very strange comment of Rashi that he comments that Yonah rather the mar, Zayas Bidei Adam from the Dvash of Bidei Adam. And the answer is really as follows. Everything that's really bitter, all that which is full of meriris, is really dvash. You have a zayas, you have an olive which is bitter, but when you extract the pnimius of a zayas, you get shemen. Although shemen may not taste as sweet, still it's the sweetness of the zayas. It brings about the shemen of Or Chanukah, of Ner Chanukah. The Gemara says that one who eats a zayas is going to ruin his memory, but one who eats shemen zayas will enhance his memory. So even that which is mar cheshvan on the outside might be very bitter, there's really dvash hidden within. So that's what the Yonah means. I rather the mar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because even the mar cheshvan is full of dvash. So let's understand what that means. Even. That which is bitter is really sweet. So the Zohar writes, when it says, Vayimaros chayim, Chomer Levenim, when Klai Yisrael were working bitterly in Mitzrayim, so they were building Chomer Levenim bricks. So the Zohar writes that Chomer Levenim, Chomer means Kal V'Chomer, and Levenim means Libun Halacha. It's a reference to the working through Limun HaTorah. And the idea here is for everyone here who is whether learning full time or affiliated with the yeshiva. Mar Cheshvan, learning Amelis is not easy. Mar Cheshvan is about the Amelis B'Torah. It's the Vayimaros Chayim. It's bitter. It's very bitter. It's very hard. All the Amelis is very, very tough. But that's what Mar Cheshvan is about, because with all the Amelis, you end up finding the sweetness that's hidden within the Mar Cheshvan. And the Sfarim point out, Rabbanim Pshischa points out, that the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chav Zayin Mabez, the word Mar Cheshvan is borrowed from the lips are moving. That's the lashon that the Gemara uses. Marachashin means marachashin sisosel, having the lips move. Because marachashin is a time of limud Torah. It's a time of limud Torah, melis b'Torah, by marus chayehem. In fact, by the Yekis, when it comes to Shabbos Mevarchim, they always sing Shabbos Mevarchim to a nigin that's related to the month. So, and I heard this from Rav Weinberger when I made a Sima Shas a few years ago in my house before I was involved in the shul. So I spoke about singing, how Shira, that Torah is a Shira. So Rav Weinberger, he spoke after me, and he said this idea that by the Yekas, Shabbos Mevarachim, the niggun they use is the niggun of Limud HaTorah. Whatever that means, when a person learns, that niggun, a person learns, that's the niggun they do Shabbos Mevarachim, of Mar Cheshvan. Because Mar Cheshvan is a month of Merachshin Sifsaseha, moving the lips of Limud HaTorah. It can be bitter sometimes, it's tough. And if it's fun, you know, it's exciting, there's singing, there's dancing, there's Simchas Torah, there's Simchas Beishoevas. That's like the dvash, the sweetness. But then we come to a bitter month, which seems bitter on the outside. But what the Yonah teaches us, that even that which is mar has really Shem and Zayas, which is a reference to the Chachma of the Torah, which is incredibly sweet. So Tishrei, which is really dvash on the outside, and Mar Cheshvan is really bitter on the outside. So let's understand what it means, dvash. The month of Tishrei, we spoke about this last year, the Sifsei Chayin Shirim, that this machlok is Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, when was the world created? Tishrei, or was it created in Nisan? Anyone remember what Tosos writes there? The Elu Ve'elu? Divrei Chaim? Exactly. Tishrei is Machshava. It says, Hayom Haras Olam. Haras Olam, Haras is conception, conceive. That's the beginning of a pregnancy. It's a conceiving of a concept, Machshava. And then Nisan is the later, the birth. So Tishrei is a time of Machshava, where we all have big hasagos. We have big dreams. And we all sit back and daydream, we fantasize. That's dvash. Imagine what it's like to win the lottery. How many of you have thought about, if I were to win the lottery, I'll give 20% to the yeshivas, and then this money and that money. Kadosh Baruch, I promise if I win the lottery, I'll do that. And we really think we're going to win. And we're going to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael, and a house in Boca, and a house in wherever else you want to buy a house. And you have a boat, and you have a private jet, and you'll be able to fly wherever you want, whenever you want. So these are fantasies. That's the dvash. It's sweet. We all like to fantasize. So that's the month of Tishrei. And Cheshvan is where the fantasies don't come true. Comes and goes, and we're back to regular day jobs, going to work, going to learn. It's not so exciting anymore. It's bitter on the outside. So let me speak just for a moment about dreams, fantasies, and connect it all together with Mar Cheshvan. Know that Parshas Noach, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he destroyed the world and recreated the world. So why didn't Kadosh Baruch Hu just start? He knew what was going to be. He knew what would happen with the generation of the Mabul. So why didn't Kadosh Baruch Hu waste the time, waste the effort of creating that generation? Why didn't he just start with Noach and his family? Erase Adam and erase the Mabul and just start from Noach. Everything would be much quicker and cleaner. And the Pasuk tells in the end of Bereishis, Vayinochim Hashem. Hashem was very regretful that he placed man ba'aretz. Ki asa adam ba'aretz. He was upset. So what do you mean Hashem was upset? Hashem regretted this? Vayinochim Hashem. Hashem knows what's going to be. If you know what's going to be the outcome, how could you regret it? Certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen to this amazing Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok explains as follows. There are many statements throughout Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the mitzvahs. He keeps the mitzvah of tefillin. He wears tefillin, the Gemara tells us, in Brachas. Where Brachas tells us he davens every single day. What does it mean he davens? Who does he daven to? The Gemara, the Yushalmi, tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps Shabbos. Ve'echu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzvam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept Shabbos. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, we have to connect it, that he learns every day. He's a seder in yeshiva. He learns every single day. The Gemara in Gittin, Davav, tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu when he learns, he quotes the tzaddikim here. He quotes what they said. Fascinating Gemara. Take a look. Vav Amud Beis. Incredible Gemara about Pilagish Begiva. Elav Elu Divrei Chaim Chaim. Take a look there. Amazing. The Kadosh Baruch Hu quotes Rav Aviyasar, and I think it's Rav Yonason maybe. Gemara in Sota tells us that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kover Mesim. He buries the dead. He buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mevaker Cholim. He visited Avram Avinu. So what does that mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps the mitzvahs? I know why you and I keep mitzvahs, because Hashem told us to. It reminds us Hashem is here and brings us closer to Hashem. Why in the world does Hashem keep the mitzvahs? So Reb Tzadok explains that just like Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Gashmi, he had to create the world, the Ruchni. So he created the world Begashmi by Asar Mamaros, by his 10 statements, his 10 utterances. Vahi Or, and there was light. By his statements, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But how did he create the world of Ruchni, mitzvahs? Sadduk explains, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu performing the mitzvahs, he created the mitzvah. He put on tefillin, he created tefillin. He learned, he created a mitzvah of Libra Torah. He davened to whomever, whatever that means, he davened, he created the mitzvah of tefillah. So all mitzvahs were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeping those mitzvahs. He kept Shabbos, Shabbos came into existence. So ask Reb Tzadok, so well, there's a mitzvah of tshuva. We all have the opportunity to do tshuva, so where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu perform tshuva to make that accessible to us? So Reb Tzadok says, when it says, Vayinachim Hashem, and Hashem regretted creating the world, that was a tshuva. The charata that he had, that was the tshuva. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu had charata, he did the mitzvah of tshuva, now we have the accessibility of tshuva. Okay? Beautiful Reb Tzadok. So now I'm going to ask a question that's going to make everyone feel uncomfortable. If you don't feel uncomfortable, then you should speak to a rabbi. The question is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did tshuva, that means he did an avera. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sinned. That's a very strange thing to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did an avera. It's blasphemous to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu did an avera. So it makes me uncomfortable to say Hashem did an avera. But I'm just taking the next step in logic that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs tshuva, that he means he did something wrong. So of course he did nothing wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also doesn't do mitzvot. He doesn't wear tefillin, he doesn't have a yad, he doesn't have a rosh. These are all ways of speaking that we, in our very small minds, could understand a little bit what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us. So let's take a step back and understand what was the avera of Hashem. We'll bring everything together, I hope. So, many times in life, especially at your age, you guys dream big, you fantasize big. We mentioned before, people dream small. The same dreams they had when they were 13, to play in Yankee Stadium. Hope there are no Met fans here, are there? No, right? So the dreams to play in Yankee Stadium. So hopefully those don't still last as you guys grow older. So you have to dream big. But sometimes you could dream too big. So I heard of Maisa one, Dr. Pelkovitz, who was spending Shabbos in the Upper West Side. He was having a meal with a number of single boys and single girls. He went around the table to ask what everyone's up to in life. So all the girls are like, partner in a law firm, and finding the cure for cancer, and big hedge fund. And all the guys, like 35-year-old guys, like, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing in my life. Busy watching SportsCenter reruns all day long. I hope we made this time the Yankees will win the playoffs. So he's like, I don't get it. What happened to all the men? All the women are like conquering the world, which, okay, that's fine. But the men are the real warriors. Why aren't the men like doing anything? They're just sitting around twiddling their thumbs and hoping just like God just gives them billions of dollars. So his assessment was that in the mind of a man is that they're either going to be Rav Chaim Kanievsky or Warren Buffett. Anything short of that, they feel like a failure. What that means is that men think too big. The dreams are too unrealistic. It's a fantasy. It's a dvash. We all want to be like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. We all want to know Kol Torah Kula, the tips of our fingers. That's sweetness. We all want to be, if not that, to make money, be like Warren Buffett and own like a private jet company. That's dvash. That's sweetness. That's thinking big. That's thinking unrealistic. When it comes to dating, again, I don't know who's married, who's not married here, but it comes to dating, so people also have very unrealistic demands of who they want to marry. So I don't know how shaykh it is here in this chavra, but some people say that I'm only going to marry a family that's willing to support me in kolo and buy me a fancy apartment and afford my fancy dinner Sunday night and take me to the King David for circus. And to the Doral for Pesach, and skiing winter break, and up in the country for the winter vacation, summer vacation rather, and pretty much have no time to learn because they're busy vacationing the whole time. But that's what they want. But these are unrealistic dreams. That's a dvash. It's sweet, like in your mind. This is the machshav of Tishrei, really the fantasy. But those are unrealistic dreams. And the people have the same unrealistic dreams in Ruchnis as well. Now, you all did, myself included, we all did whatever we did in high school. We went there to suffer the year. And, you know, Elul's mom, we were on fire. Slichas were great. We were staying up so late at night. And then comes Sukkot, and we go to the Inbal, King David, Citadel, Waldorf, and then boom. We see our old girlfriend in high school, and we lost everything we gained. So we start again after Sukkot is over. We start up again. Okay, 2-3 weeks in. Okay, we start fresh. We're really excited. We're sitting at our makom. We have, you know, a nice fresh Tanakh. You're trying to memorize all the Twaver books of Tanakh you never knew before. And then you have the set of Shas, then you have the Mishavura, and then you have whatever other Sfarim you just bought from wherever they buy with Manny's or something, right? So then you're like, okay, now I'm going to finish everything on my table this year. Tanakh and Shas and Mishavura, and I'm going to know it well also. So we all went through those stages of like, we really thought we were going to do that. Like, let's figure it out. So if I do 3 hours a day of, you know, Shas, and then an hour a day of 8 prakim a day, and whatever the calculation is, and this amount of page of Mishabura, I could actually do this in 1 year. And give it 2 days, maybe, and you're done. So these are unrealistic dreams. And unrealistic dreams in business, unrealistic dreams in Shidduchim, unrealistic dreams in learning Torah. So that's like the Dvash. When the Dvash is so sweet, it's really... it's unreal. And those are the types of goals and aspirations we set ourselves up for failure in the times of Tishrei. Mar Cheshvan is when we realize the reality of the bitterness, it's not true. We can't reach such dreams. So I think when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayinachem Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that was unrealistic on purpose. He created a world without a Torah. And that's why everyone became corrupt. And immoral, because a world can't exist without the Torah. So that was an unrealistic world, intentionally created, so that Kadosh Baruch Hu could teach us a lesson of Yinacham Hashem to regret that dream and think realistically. Then he put Noach in the world, and Avram, and Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and had a Torah for us to work with rules and restrictions and limitations. I mean, the lesson is that we can't dream unrealistically. We have to be able to set goals. There's a difference between a goal in a dream. Take a look in the Eish Kodesh, whose Yahrzeit was on Shabbos. I just dawned upon my birthday. My Hebrew birthday is today. It was Vav Cheshvan. The Yahrzeit of the Eish Kodesh is Dalet, so it must be some connection. So Esther Weinberger, we had a Shabbos. We always have Friday night a nice Suda for the Yahrzeit of the Eish Kodesh in the shul. So I asked him on the way out if there's any connection to being born in the week of a tzaddik. So the Sfarim don't really talk about it, but the Hasidim like to say there's a connection. So there's a little bit of a shtickle connection to the Eish Kodesh. So the Eish Kodesh writes in one of the Sfarim, Tzav Vizira, is Os Yadalad. He talks about the idea of a dream versus a goal. What's a dream versus a goal? So the examples he gives is, you have an ani who doesn't have anything to eat. So a dream is that he's going to become wealthy, he'll win the lottery. That's a fantasy, a dream. A goal is that he's going to find food for today. That's a realistic goal for him. You have a rush who is doing whatever he's doing wrong. A dream is that he's going to go to sleep and wake up as a tzaddik. Now he really wants to. We all want to be tzaddikim. Deep down, every rush wants to be a tzaddik. Unfortunately, I know of crazy cases of people who do the worst of the worst, and be'etzem, they feel so guilty when they do something wrong. They really want to be a tzaddik. But you just can't become a tzaddik overnight by going to sleep and waking up. A goal for a rush is to maybe wake up for davening. Maybe to wake up, put tefillin on, to go to minyan. Everyone's goals are different depending where they stand in life. Now, one person's goal could learn just a mishnah a day. Another guy's goal could be to learn daf yomi. Another guy could be to finish shmicha. Now, I saw an old chavrusa of mine, a younger chavrusa, where I was learning with a guy much younger than me, a bachar. I saw him in a chasana last night. I asked what he was up to, and I asked, you know, does he learn at all? He said, nah, I don't learn at all. It's okay. Why don't you take upon yourself to learn 20 minutes a week? 20 minutes a week? That's a lot. said, okay, I'll learn with you 20 minutes a week. So hot. So I talked to him, I said, listen, you think about it, and you reach out to me if you want to learn with me. So I didn't hear it from him. So on the way out here, I left him a voice note. I said, let's do 10 minutes a week. I'm waiting to hear back from him. He read the voice note. Haven't heard back from him yet. Hopefully, by the time I turn on airplane mode, maybe when I turn back on, maybe I'll get a voice note. He'll agree to learn with me just for 10 minutes a week. But each person has their own goals, whatever their goal is for them. But that goal has to be within reach, has to be realistic. This is an incredible ma'isa from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It took place in Yerushalayim. There's a couple that wasn't zochet to children. And when they got very old, finally they were zochet to a young boy, a baby boy. So the boy was born to this elderly couple, and shortly thereafter, the father passed away. So this elderly mother raised the boy by herself. And as she got older and more incapable, and the young boy grew older and more mature, so the young boy began to take care of his own mother. And it came time for shidduchim for the young boy, 18, 19, 20, whatever the age is. And he was talking to the Rosh Yeshiva about finding a shidduch for himself. And he told the Rosh Yeshiva he has one demand. That this girl he finds is willing to live with me and my mom. That was the demand. Rosh Yeshiva says that's unrealistic. No one wants to live with their mother-in-law. So the boy wouldn't budge. So he dated and dated and couldn't find anyone because no one wanted to move in with his mom. Okay. So Rosh Yeshiva wanted to have this boy get married. So he said, let's go to Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And he'll knock some sense into this boy. So the Rosh Yeshiva takes the young boy to Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And they tell him the predicament. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, I agree with the young bacher. You should find the girl who's willing to move in with his mom. Rosh Yeshiva was a little taken back by this, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman says. So he gave him the psak, and that was it. And then before he left, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, I give you a bracha, you should find that girl very soon. A couple weeks later, Hitaka found the girl who wanted to live with him and his mom. You know, I wouldn't recommend it. You know, there's in Shul and Shal Shudis. So there's a guy, Michael Levine. Michael Levine is married to Rav Willig's sister, Rav Mordechai Willig's sister. So every Shal Shudis, he comes over and tells a joke to Rav Weinberger, and I sit next to Rav Weinberger, so I hear the joke. 95% of the jokes are about a mother-in-law. So either way, so Rav Shlomo Zalman gave him a bracha, so he found the girl, they got married, great. The next day after the chasana, the boy gets a call from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Mazel Tov in the chasana, now it's time to get your own place. Bach said, Rebbe, you just told me I should find the girl who's willing to live with me and my mom. He said, yeah. I told you find the girl who's willing to live, but not to actually live with your mom. There's a difference between fantasy and reality. Dreams and goals. That was a dream to live with your mom. Okay, you found the girl who's a Baal Chesed, who's Midos Tovos, a Derech Eretz. You found her. She's willing to. That's great. But that's not reality. That's not a goal. There's a difference between goals and dreams. The dvash, the sweetness, are the dreams when they're so far, far away. But when reality hits that, we're not winning the lottery. We're not becoming billionaires overnight. We're not going to know Kol HaTorah Kula overnight. We get involved in the Marchesh and the Meriris, the bitterness, because we realize we're not going to live up to the expectations we set out for ourselves in the month of the Dvash, the month of Tishrei. And that's where, in reality, Mar Cheshvan could really bring about the Dvash. Because when you set goals and you lower the standard. Now, I'm a very big proponent of making big goals. I don't like small, I like big goals. But the goals have to be realistic. And although at first glance they're meriris and bitter, when you fulfill those goals and you grow, you can finish Shas. You can master Tanakh. You can finish Mishnah Berurah. Trust me, you all could do this. It just doesn't take overnight. It doesn't take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It takes years. It takes a lifetime to do this, but you could do it. So the meriris is the bitterness of realizing you can't reach your dreams just yet. But if you set goals and steps to get there, eventually you could taste the sweetness of the dreams, that dvash of the dreams. So let's look at the last paragraph of Bnei Yisachar Mar Cheshvan. So he says at the end, you know, to really appreciate, you have to have read the whole piece here, but we'll still be fine without it. He's talking about chalomos. He's talking about dreams, the dreams of Yosef at Tzadok. And Yosef had two separate dreams. And he points out, it says in the pasuk, Vayachalom od chalomacher. He had an od chalomacher. Od is another chalomacher, another chalom. It's superfluous. And the chalom he had was Hashemesh vayareach, the sun and the moon and the stars. Vayisapir l'aviv v'l'achiv. He told his father, he told his brothers all about the moon and the sun and the stars. So he asks the Bnei Yisachar, why does it say chalom acher? We know it's a vayachalom od chalom, another chalom. Of course it's a chalom acher, another chalom. What's being taught from that extra word? And moreover, he asks, how come the first chalom he told only the brothers, but the second chalom he told even his father Yaakov Avinu? So explain to Bnei Yisachar, ki ha-chalom hazeh, this dream, the second dream, was a chalom acher. Ve'eino minyano shel harishon. Completely separate idea than the first dream. The first dream had a certain lesson, and the second dream had another, a different lesson, acher. Because the first one, the interpretation was that he's going to be appointed Moshe, a king, a ruler, v'mitzrayim, and the brothers v'yavo achiv v'yishachiv ulo. And his goal was to gather all the grains in Mitzrayim. So that was a chalom about, it was all about the wheats, right? All the wheats bending down, bowing down, because it's all about collecting all the tefuos. And it was really only relevant to the brothers who came down to Mitzrayim. So that's why he told the brothers, and it was all about the wheat. But the chalom hasheni, the second dream Yosef had about the moon and the stars and the sun, was a chalom achor, was a completely different concept. The idea was that the Shemesh V'yareach will sometime in the future be the Or Levana Kor Hachama. The dream of the moon's light will be like the sunlight. Because loss of love in the future, B'mher V'yameinu, he writes, B'chadsho, in the month of Mar Cheshvan, even though it's so bitter on the outside, what he speaks about, the Bayis Shlishi is going to be built in Cheshvan. Because loss of love, Mar Cheshvan is going to hold that Simcha. Because in this Chadsho, Hainu Chodesh HaMeyuchas Levno Menashe. Because Yosef Tzadik, we know he has two Shvatim, two sons of Menashe and Ephraim. And each month, there are 12 months and the 12 Shvatim. Each Shevet corresponds to a different month. Mar Cheshvan's Menashe. So since Yosef's son Menashe was Mar Cheshvan, so he was talking about in the future, Las Lavo, the sun and the moon are going to be equal. And it's going to take place in my descendants, in Menashe, which is the Mar Cheshvan. Bo, in this month, Yechinu Chabayis will be an inauguration, initiation of the Bayis Lasa Lavo, in the future, the Bayis Shlishi. V'az Yavo Kol Habas L'Shachos, everyone's going to come. So see that Mar Cheshvan, even though Mar Cheshvan on the outside is a bitter month, it's a quiet month, it's a sad month, holds within it incredible amounts of sweetness, of Dvash. Although it's hidden, it's there. So it's there on a global level, on a national level, with the coming of the Mashiach and the building of Bayis Shlishi, but it's also true on a personal level, because all the dreams, the dvash that we had that were so far away, Mar Cheshvan brings us back to reality, but it allows us to realize that you can, through the hard work, Vayimaros Chayim, Vayimarach Shin Sfoseh, by letting your lips move, and Limna Torah with the Amelis, you can actually reach to the levels of dvash. And therefore, the Blues River points out, if you take the Gematria of Tishrei, which is 910, and you subtract Mar Cheshvan, which is 604, you get the Gematria 306, which is the Gematria of Dvash. Because Mar Cheshvan really on the outside, although it's Mar, hidden within is all that Dvash, the sweetness. So we should take away that even though it's a seemingly quiet, lonely, simple month, with the Amelis we could really bring about the greatest of dreams. So I give you all bracha, that we should all think big, not dream, don't dream, big goals. Big aspirations to accomplish a lot, not only in Limud HaTorah, that for sure, but even in your midos and derech eretz, because we all have a lot to work on, relationship with parents and with friends and the rebbeim. We should think big, we make big goals, and we should be zocha to fulfill all those goals in ruchni and gashmi, and to taste the dvash, the sweetness of the month of Cheshvan. Shkach.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.